Lenisch kolomok er de skrúd papéir na tuaracha agus na gceisteanna a gabhann le cuid a.
Cad is cad a mai ein of mara will make bú la Tá cean fa love a gamia agus pasin tuc nu
Is mi se Aoife ní Ciarán. My name is Aoife Kearns. Tá gaeilge bhriste agam, I've a bit of broken Irish, ach ba bhrealum a bheith in ann ar deanga dúchas a leabhairt. But I'd love to be able to speak the Irish language. Mar tá an gaeilge gnéasach.
Yeah.
Irish culture is on the up. Described as a gnéasance in The Guardian this year, our culture... Our culture is now part of a much bigger pop culture phenomenon. Irish artists making waves across the globe.
Here with the song Take a Sexy Picture of Me, C-Mac.
The winner is Romance by Fontaine's DC.
Irish actors on the big screen.
Paul Mescal.
It's Andrew Scott.
Ladies and gentlemen, Saoirse Ronan.
And the Oscar goes to Cillian Murphy.
Dermot Mulroney.
Being Irish, dressing Irish, embracing the culture, music and language is gnéasach right now. And for the first time in decades, ceol tradisiúnta, traditional music is seeping into the charts. And I think there was no better example of this than in Loch Gorman, Wexford this summer. 800,000 people from Arfoot na Tíre throughout the country and further afield gathered in Wexford town for Fla Ceol na Héireann. One of the biggest global pop stars in the world even got in on the action at the star-studded Sesiún in the Sky and the Ground bar in Wexford at the Fla. Sheeran was joined by many other musicians, including an Irish act, which is a significant part of the current green wave in Irish pop music.
And the end finds us too late, removing caps outside the gates of the old halls, neglected all the old songs. But I still see lights bid adieu to all the old friends and the fools singing the new songs. Away from all my old haunts.
Ambil is an Irish folk band that carries on the tradition of storytelling through ballads, including instruments such as the banjo and mandolin in their songs. We asked Ambil for their view on why young people are so eager to reconnect with their culture.
Well, people are wanting real music, guitar, song. I think every genre has its time, you know, you have your dance and whatever, but... You have time. Whereas now it's like, now I think people are just loving your hip hop and your rapping and your. But I think music, folk music and storytelling is always there, and it's always going to be there, and we're just a part of that. You know, naturally, you get a bit of luck with timing too. But folk music has always existed, and it's always going to be there.
Like, there's so many class acts coming out now, and I don't know why you wouldn't be rooting for all of them. Like, across the board, like C-Mat is having a huge moment, and yeah. Fontaines have had an unbelievable year, and there's loads of other acts coming up that are class.
I loved seeing C-Mat the last couple of months, how big she's going. She's just, for 5 or 6 years I've been like, I just absolutely think she's brilliant.
Yeah,
and it seems to have somehow just happened now.
Yeah, it was my dad got me into C-Mat years ago. He found I Want to Be a Cowboy, and he loved that song, and he was obsessed with it. So he's been waiting for years for C-Mat.
Ava Summers is the presenter of Irish Beats every Sunday here on Beat. She has been following the Irish resurgence on the music scene for several years now.
Irish music has always been there, and it's always been fantastic, and I'm definitely not here to give out about Irish music or anything that way. But we saw it like years ago. People are like, oh, wow, Irish music is really, you know, doing something great. But What about the Saw Doctors? What about the Wolf Tones? Like, these guys have been around for years and they've become so embedded in our culture. Did you see how many people showed up to see the Wolf Tones at EP last year?
And what do you think it is in terms of this current revival amongst younger people wanting to connect with their roots? Because as much as we talk about the Saw Doctors and maybe the Corrs, there was a little bit of a dry spell in terms of music that was, I guess, entering the top 10 of the charts in Ireland.
Yeah, so I think it wasn't cool to be quintessentially Irish, you know. Say when I was in like primary school and even secondary school, it wasn't cool to be good at Irish. It wasn't cool to have your cúpla focal. That wasn't cool, you know. I wore a clattering every day since I was like 16 and that wasn't really the done thing then. Now, you know, you can pick up clatterings, cheap ones and nearly duns or pennies or somewhere like that, you know. And I think that music is kind of reflecting that.
I guess the only visibility of Irish music in the charts that I would have had growing up would have been Bewitched had that one verse.
Oh God.
And then Westlife, You Raise Me Up had that one verse. But this doesn't feel tokenistic or I'm just going to put the little bit of Irish bit in because it's Irish. It feels a lot more interconnected.
Yeah, it is a lot more connected and it's a lot more like true, you know. Talking to Chase and Abby last week, their whole thing was like, we're being Irish but not in a paddy whackery way. And I think that's the best way to put it. Like, for years, you know, you'd throw in that little kind of Irishism in somewhere and that'll do. Like, it'll make it sound Irish. Towards now, it's like, it's come the other way around. Killa has been number one on the singles charts, outdoing literally all the international songs. It's been at number one for weeks because people just keep singing it and keep posting it and keep loving it. And, you know, they have this real Irishness about them, the likes of Kingfisher, the likes of Amble. Then you have like Chase and Abby doing it in a very kind of a dance way. I know Ev Wilde did it a little bit.
It would be completely remiss of us not to mention Kneecap when we were talking about this current revival. They have had a following for several years now. Then the movie came out and it was just massive. And you had like this whole generation of young Irish people wanting to engage with their language because they've learned about the significance of the language.
Kneecap were the first kind of act to make Irish sound normal and sound like a language that people would talk on a day-to-day basis. Because you take when you're in school and you're learning Irish and you're learning Irish for the first time, they don't really teach it in a way that makes it appealing. Like, you read all of these stories and, you know, some of them are great and some of them really aren't. And, you know, you have your Shra Pictori. And I feel like when you're in school, sometimes, in a way, Irish is kind of bet into you rather than you learning it because you want to learn it.
For many people, including myself, learning Stair na Gaeilge, the history of Ireland, is what motivates them to learn the language. To tell us why most people in Ireland do not speak Irish as their first language, here's Kilkenny historian and social media star Davy Holden.
It's one of the oldest written languages in the world, first of all. It was first seen on Ulm stones back in the 5th century. The Irish language would have been spoken in Ireland dating back around 2,500 years ago or so. The Normans arrive in Ireland, right, towards the end of the 12th century. A lot of the Normans began to speak Irish and kind of adopt Irish culture in general. So that wasn't a huge kind of hit on the language at all. But there was laws brought in to stop this, right? So the Statutes of Kilkenny were brought in 1366. So this was kind of like the first blueprint of segregation in Ireland, I suppose. Because like by the 1360s, the Normans had been in Ireland for like 200 years. And a lot of them were becoming Irish. You know, they were speaking Irish, they were adopting Irish culture and they were intermarrying with Irish people. The Statutes of Kilkenny were brought in to kind of stop this. And they banned them from speaking Irish, banned them from intermarrying with Irish people, adopting Irish clothes and using Irish names and playing Irish music. But English was now kind of a language that was needed, you know, for like legal affairs and that kind of thing. After that, then you had penal laws, which began to, I suppose, anglicize Ireland. They came into effect in the late 1600s. Then the biggest hit, I suppose, is probably the most obvious one. It's the 1840s and 1850s. During that time, like the mid-19th century, the language is essentially on the point of extinction. Then you have a big Gaelic revival at the end of the 1800s. So you had like the Society for the Preservation of the Irish Language. That's a huge one. And that was founded in 1876. And then 2 years later, they added the Irish language to the curriculum for primary schools and secondary schools. And then during that time, you kind of had this revival of Irish culture as a whole, not just the language, but the GAA was founded, you know, and the Gaelic League. I think we're going through a little bit of a Gaelic revival right now, which is kind of like similar enough to the end of the 19th century. Like the Irish language is becoming, I don't want to say becoming cool again, because it was always cool, but I think now it's becoming more popular again. I think the history of the language is actually so crucial in terms of getting interest in learning it and understand like what people went through, you know, for hundreds of years, for centuries, just to keep the language alive. Like, that's thanks to, of course, like the Gaelic League and things like this. But at the same time, who should be thanked more than anyone is the people of the Gaeltacht communities.
There are now more and more people, ag Dhaoine of Iarracht Mór, making a big effort to ensure Irish is accessible to all. In part two of Gnéasach, Taimid Gdi Gaeltacht na Naoise, we go to the Waterford Gaeltacht and hear from a Waterford man teaching Gaeilge tríd TikTok.
The Sunday Grill on Beat 102-103.
Port Láirge, Waterford, is one of seven counties in Ireland which has an active Gaeltacht community. Gaeltacht na Naoise, the Waterford Gaeltacht, is located along the coast just outside Dungarvan and includes two villages, An Ryan agus An Seán Phobail. It's also the home to Chláiste na Rinne, where thousands of secondary school students from across the country come to study the Irish language every summer. The Chláiste also operates several other courses throughout the year for adults and has a primary and secondary school.
So my name is Cristóra Fuilán, I'm the director of Chláiste na Rinne, and we're sitting in the Fáinne just outside our main building. So every summer our campus gets much busier, because instead of having dozens of children attending our Scoil na Laoghaire, we have hundreds of students attending our summer courses for a couple of weeks at a time during the summer months.
And how is that? What is it like?
It's energetic. It's a big challenge when you have hundreds of children, each with their own needs, each with their own parents, looking out for their children and for their best interests, and just making sure that everything happens when it comes to classes in the morning, sports in the evening, making sure that everyone is fed and happy. It's a big challenge, but we have a strong team that makes sure that it all runs like clockwork. There's always an interest in the exams, and that's always something that's in the back of people's mind, because the Leaving Cert is only a few years away for people who are coming here for our summer courses. And we do have a specific Leaving Cert revision course as well, Course H. Certainly for the younger students who are here, just looking to enjoy their couple of weeks in the Gaeltacht, you see it, and I suppose where it comes out, especially, is during the talent show. Usually each course, there'll be a talent show towards the end, and you'll see the different kind of sketches and different acts that the students put on. And that can be very influenced by what they're seeing on TikTok and different places and different music that they're interested in. It's always hugely important that there's something that's very relevant and very interesting for children at that age. I remember when I was growing up, you had things like Yu Ming is Anam Dum, short stories like that. And while that's great, it's always important to have stuff that's still fresh. So having the likes of Kneecap and things that are kind of more in tune with the younger generation is hugely important to try and make it relevant in their lives.
How many adults are coming here to learn Irish, and not just learn Irish to sit papers, be it Leaving Cert, or I know a lot of people might do the Hibernia or whatever it might be, but how many people are just coming because they want to, you know, connect with the culture?
So we've seen a big upswing in adult education in the Chláiste over the last decade or so. Now, a big part of that is people studying Irish at a third level, wanting to go on to become primary school teachers. And we have various groups from Hibernia and Mary Eye and so on and so forth coming here to do part of their course. But we've also seen a big interest in people who are just later in life, we want to get back into the language and pick it up again. So we do our online Irish classes for an 8-week course, and those are always quite popular. And we also do, in the summer, we have our own kind of immersion course. And oftentimes people will sign up for their online classes, and then as a kind of a follow-on from that, we'll come and spend a week. And they're very popular, and even from people from various corners of the world. We always get a few Americans, a few people over from the UK and from Europe coming to spend a week in the Gaeltacht as part of their summer holidays.
Quinn O'Macra, Sendum, and we're here in and Ryan O'Gonoch, and I grew up here and learned Irish here from a young age.
So Gaeilge to you is obviously your first language, it's just part of who you are?
Yeah, I would have grown up at home. My father would have been speaking Irish, grandparents, siblings. I went to an all-Irish primary school and secondary school, so it's definitely my first language. I learned subjects through it and all, so.
And could it happen too if we, I guess, this current revival of, you know, the culture, like the Irish language, Star, August Kjol, why do you think younger people are so interested in it now?
I suppose there's just more awareness around the Irish language and the history of it. I suppose in school people are kind of forced to learn it, and it's more mature, more than wanting to do it. And I think when you actually, it's more so when you leave school that you kind of understand the history behind it, and you kind of find a want to learn it because it is our native language and it is so important to keep it going. Some people might have a bad experience with Irish in school. They might have done ordinary level or something, and then they kind of write it off when they leave school, and they think, "Oh, I was never any good at Irish, so there's no point in starting now." But here we see people in their 40s, 50s come to do basic beginner Irish classes, and it's great to see that it's never too late to learn your native language.
Do you think that more needs to be done to change how Irish is taught in schools?
There's a lot of reciting poems and learning prose and stories and stuff, and anyone can like learn off an essay or a poem. It's not just over skull, it's tanga, awling, and it's fedlet, crack, ve gut, ask awling, like ni god, dot of a dorira, den of skurdu kainta, nuin. It's like it's fedlet koro, ve gut let a car, ask awling, ni god, of a mar skurdu kainta, like ni langa, kun brew a cart, like. It's for Wailing Bristol, no bear leclishta maradertur. So I suppose if you even couple a focal here and there is a lot better than just giving up on it altogether.
With the advent of social media, Ag Fowlum Gaeilge learning Irish no longer needs to be fully confined to the classroom. There are now dozens of content creators who make videos as Gaeilge, and one Waterford creator who has established an educational bilingual social media brand. Sean with a Father is a Southeast creator who started his Instagram and TikTok channels in February and has already amassed thousands of new followers.
Yeah, so I actually had a really unique experience, all thanks to my mum. She sent me and my siblings to the Irish primary school and secondary school here in Waterford. So I went to Gaeilge Scoileann Náisiúnta and Gaeilge Chláiste Fort Láirge. So I kind of didn't realise that it was a unique experience until I was an adult. Like, we just went into school, went through the gates, and like, Thosaigh Tuath Gléirt in Gaeilge, you started to speak in Irish. But then when you left school, you just turned back to English. And that was kind of the way I grew up. So my family all spoke Irish, and so did my mum. So there was always Cúpla Focal Sawalia Gwing. We always had a little bit of Irish at home as well. My whole aim of my page online, Sean with a Father, is to show that Irish is alive outside of the classroom. It's not just a school subject. It's not used just to get into college, but like that you can live your life fully like a Gaeilge Trí Ghaeilge. And that's kind of the way I want to move my life back to, because I took it for granted when I was a kid. I didn't realise, oh wow, there's actually something really special here, like Igumparod Limachorda, in comparison to my friends who went to English schools. And now as adults, they all say to me like, oh, I wish I had the Irish that you have, you know, and like that.
Now the Corja, because they were a kind Osperla, that inspired you somewhat to make Gaeilge accessible to a larger audience.
I think there's so many like outlets there. There's music, there's TV, there's podcasts, like Peirod Gurwalat, whatever you want, like Trí Gaeilge. But it's more difficult if you're someone who might be a beginner or not as advanced to find something that like you can understand and follow. So I changed my approach to doing it like bilingual, Go Hyangakis. And I'm putting the captions alongside it so people can follow the words, and like Felumintu on Go Hicks. You learn from the context as well. So for example, if I'm doing a haul, you know, I went into town shopping and I'm showing you Elaine and Nua. And you can visually see it's a shirt.
And you get a flashback from your school days.
Exactly, yeah, because you like it's down there somewhere. You know the words are there deep down. And I think this is probably the most exciting times in terms of Irish, because there could be a big change here. Mm-hmm. And I think people understand and connect to it more rather than just rote learning for an exam. and like that people have the passion they've heard of and they want to get into it. So yeah, it's really exciting. Yeah, it's a great community that I've built. I'm very grateful for it because it's a two-way exchange. They get to learn Cúpla Focal Nua, but also so do I. So like I'll learn Nathanna Cainte Nua that I've never heard, new like just little phrases, you know? Like Irish is such a poetic language and sometimes they're just so on the nose. Like, you know, there's no other way to describe it except for Trícaoilge. I feel like there's so many of them in Irish, but one of them would be Bohontiacht, and that means calling up to the neighbours for a gossip.
So the tea, basically.
Exactly, the tea ask Cúpla, though.
If you're looking for your black James Bond on show, Spice Box Taxi by the Central.
While the language is enjoying a revival, so are Irish designers and brands. From O'Neill's GAA shorts to Aran knits to Claddagh rings, Irish design and brands are everywhere. And Irish designers are having a moment too.
My name's Christine Murphy and I'm the founder and creative director of Urban Aran Knitwear, based here in Waterford City.
The brand is regularly worn by Irish presenters, actors and celebs such as Laura Whitmore, Vogue Williams and Aisling Bea, and has even had a big showcase at Paris Fashion Week.
The name describes what I do really. Urban is the inspiration that I've taken from Waterford Wall's street art. I was fascinated by that project, which I started to notice a lot more in COVID when we had that like walking ban, and I was like, oh my god, all this beautiful free art painted by Irish and international graffiti artists. I just thought it was amazing. That was at a time when I was drawing and creating my own fashion collection. And then Aran, the second part of the brand's name, comes from my study in Limerick College of Art and Design of how to deconstruct Aran stitchwork. So I decided to mix graffiti with a bit of Aran knitting. This year, what I'm wearing is very much around crevice flowers and their little Irish flora that grow out through the cracks in the walls of urban walls found in cities. And, you know, it's how they survive in very harsh environments and still manage to produce a really lovely flower that comes out in the middle of this graffiti drawing. So I just kind of wanted to demonstrate that, whether I have or not, I don't know. But,
no,
you know,
absolutely.
That's what I'm aiming to do. Look, I think that the coastline of Ireland is stunning, but I see it used as inspiration a lot. And I wanted to come into the cities to show a different side of Ireland. If you think back to our grandparents' era, the jumper was made with wool. The wool came from the local sheep. It was hand knit. And then it was passed on to four or five families. And then you move on, you know, 70 years, and it's a short space of time, really. And we're buying pieces that are made from not wool, not cotton, really bad quality garments. They're lasting one family member and they're thrown in the bin. That goes into landfill and it doesn't naturally turn into manure in the earth. You know, it lies there and it causes pollution. So I think that's the one side of it. And then the other side of it is that we're looking for something different that's not made in bulk. I think fashion became very standardized. So where's the originality and the creativity gone? Even the large department stores that I work with now are taking on more artisan producers.
Trends come and go, but considering we've managed to hold on to the Irish culture through 800 years of British rule, starvation, a global pandemic, and now an age where the world is at our fingertips, wouldn't it be a waste to move on now? So yes, it might be in the spotlight now. It might be gnasach or sexy, but if looking into this revival has inspired me to do anything, it's to use my Cúpla Focal and keep our culture alive. Slán!